Good morning, all. We dedicate our learning this morning in the memory of Rav.
Rav Chaim ben Yehuda Kohen.
Chaim ben Yehuda Kohen.
And Rachel Bas Rav Yaakov.
That's Rachel Bas. That's Rachel Bas.
Bas Rav Yaakov.
It's Yaakov. Hashem should have an aliyah.
Amen.
So we were discussing some of the elements of cleaning and preparing before Pesach, and so one of the things that a person has to be careful to do, although you'll see in a moment why maybe you don't have to be as careful nowadays, is the notion of going through all of your dishes and making sure there's no chametz, right? Everyone knows that when we clean our dishes, we clean our pots, we do so carefully, but we all know that eventually, every now and again, there is a little piece of chametz that's left on the pot. So why is a person, or should a person be obligated to go through all of the dishes in all of their cabinets and clean out all of the chametz that's within there? Because again, to own even a little bit of chametz would be a problem. And you never know when you might end up opening up a cabinet and you find a nice little roll that was left as a residue on the pot. And so someone asked me a few weeks ago, Rabbi, why should I be required to sell my chametz if I know I'm getting rid of all my chametz? And the answer is because when you sell your chametz, you sell all the chametz that you own knowingly and unknowingly. And that really takes care of these types of smaller issues like having a little chametz residue on your pots and pans. So technically, if a person does not sell their chametz, you really should be obligated to go through every nook and cranny, every single pot and pan. But if you sell your you sell all of the chametz in your home, then you really don't have to worry about checking every little nook and cranny for all your pots and pans, although if you want to, you are allowed to. There is a unknown halacha, and it's more of a minhag than a halacha, but we keep it nowadays relatively strictly, if you are aware of it, and that is that on Erev Pesach, you're not really allowed to be doing any work. The Gemara talks about the fact that there were some communities that did do work on Erev Pesach, some communities that did not do work on Erev Pesach. We nowadays have the custom that none of us are supposed to be doing work on Erev Pesach, and so all the poskim want to understand, what does that mean, no work? What framework can we put that in? And so the answer is that Erev Pesach is like Chol Moed, and people think Chol Moed is like a regular weekday, so you can treat Erev Pesach like a regular weekday. Well, Erev Pesach should not be treated like a regular weekday, and the Chol Moed should not be treated like a regular weekday. It should be treated like a day with a little bit more of advanced holiness, and therefore, to do malacha that is only absolutely necessary could be done, but things like taking haircuts and the like, ideally should only be done before Chatzos, if possible. Finally, there is a halacha that one is not allowed to eat chametz. One should not eat chametz on Pesach, but one should not eat matzah the day before Pesach as well. And that is an iser derabanan, a rabbinic prohibition to eat matzah the day before Pesach. And as a result, people should be careful what they eat. So you can't eat bread, you can't eat matzah. You could eat like cheese and fruit, and really that's basically it. One should be careful of that. But there is a minhag not to have matzah 30 days before, and then just this past week, our daughters are very cute, and they decided to eat the challah before the Shabbos meal that my wife had baked. And so as a result, we actually ended up finding an extra loaf of challah. But in case you didn't have challah, you would be allowed to use matzah, because again, 30 days beforehand, there is a minhag not to eat matzah, but really the day before, that's the Isser Derabanan. With that, we conclude with the Rabbi's Kaddish, Rabbi Hanani.